Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley. Episode 11. Produced and dramatised by Be Here. Chapter 10, Continued. The tangled bosom of the forest was getting darker. Thin strips of the sun seeped scarcely through the moss-tinted boughs. Gigantic roots curved out of the soft carpet of leaves.
Hey, you're good.
Tay, predictably, couldn't keep his bafflement to himself.
Yes,
Nasteri answered stiffly. A shaft of light in his path coloured his hair a pale shade of gold. The warrior squinted.
What was that?
I don't know.
It was only half true, but Nasteri wasn't sure how to put the other half into words. He wasn't sure it would be a good idea either.
Lame. I don't believe you for a second.
Listen.
No, you listen. I must know what's up with my team. Stop playing stupid games, all right?
I told you I don't know.
Nasteri repeated, firmer this time. A shadow of pain broke through his voice.
It seemed like visions from a different time. Some other life.
Tay grimaced.
What other life? What you on about?
Nasteri looked away. This was exactly the reaction he expected. Exactly the reaction he was in no mood to deal with now.
You weren't there when the Holy Star explained that,
Nasteri said after a pause. There was no point in trying to hold back. He knew. He might as well just say it.
It's going to sound weird.
As always. Go ahead.
Fine, you asked for it. There. You think your current life is all there is, right?
Tay nodded.
But really, it's only one step out of many. A single link in a long chain of lives. The other ones, you simply don't remember. Or you're not supposed to. They remain hidden deep inside your consciousness somewhere.
They... what? Where?
The memories of your past live in you. And sometimes they can stir up, it seems.
Tay frowned in a mixture of confusion and wonder.
Hegel, is that right?
The first part, certainly.
Hegel inclined his head.
Although the Holy Star said nothing about how to rekindle those memories at will. I didn't realise one could.
I didn't either until now.
Nasteri muttered, pushing a long branch of fir out of his way. It bounced soundlessly behind him.
Then how?
Nasteri let out a sigh. He glanced at Antares, who walked slightly ahead.
If I work it out, I'll tell you,
he promised to Hegel, darkly.
But believe me, it's no joy.
After a while, the green curtain of the forest parted, revealing a secret glade. The slanting afternoon sun rays shone through the flowers, at once fragile and lovely, like pieces of coloured glass.
Oh, look.
Tay pointed at the small thicket in the middle, heavy with fruits that shimmered gold amongst the foliage.
Cute. I wonder what they are.
Golden apples,
Antares said.
Are they good? Can I try?
That I wouldn't recommend.
The great star sniffed in amusement.
You wouldn't like it afterwards. The unicorns love them, though.
The what loves them? No way.
Tay regarded her disbelievingly. Expecting what she said to be a joke.
The unicorns,
Antares repeated casually.
Nerevithen.
No way.
Tay snorted, but a flame of childlike excitement flashed in his eyes.
Real ones?
Light and gods.
Hegel gasped softly.
They exist? In Leari, there's a legend.
I know.
Antares smiled.
We'll need their help. What you've seen of Avon so far is only a tiny corner. The forest is immense. It reaches south for miles and miles, and even with your strength, it would take us too long to cross it all on foot.
What do we do then?
Tay furrowed his brow.
We can't...
But then he interrupted himself and his eyes opened wide.
Wait, did you say their help? Their help. We're getting helped by unicorns.
The great star smiled, a magician's smile.
Crazy.
Tay shrugged with feigned indifference that in his mind would befit a captain.
Fine, ready for whatever. Bring it on.
Over there.
Antares waved a hand at shrubs that framed the glade. Shortly, a rustle and shaking of leaves came from the right, and the astounded quarter saw four graceful steeds of opalescent white, their hooves and horns cast golden glints.
Crazy.
Tay repeated under his breath, his mask of cool composure crumbling.
They're beautiful, really they are.
A huge smile broke on his face.
So that's who watched us then?
Mysteri mused, dispassionately, recalling their first visit to the forest. He ought to be surprised, he thought. Or joyous, perhaps. Yet he felt nothing, only weariness and a dull burning in his heart, a sting of guilt. What for? The warrior chewed his lip. He did nothing wrong. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Maybe just tired.
He brushed the pesky sentiment off. One of the unicorns approached Antares, carefully accepted an apple from her hand, then nuzzled at her shoulder for a greeting. Antares laughed and hugged his neck.
This is Miru,
she said, stroking the unicorn's mane.
He and his friends have courteously agreed to take us to the Lake Aeldi. From there, we'll have to continue alone. The unicorns never leave the forest.
Miru nodded to Antares's words as though he understood, then knelt so the great star could get on his back. His three companions followed. There were no saddles or harnesses, but the quarter mounted with ease and revealed both habit and good training. A moment later, Tay already pranced around, grinning from ear to ear, ecstatic to be in his element again. Riding without reins felt odd, but he didn't seem to care. The pride of the academy, the teachers often said, and Tay always laughed it off. But they all knew that there was nobody who could beat him at riding, and nobody who loved it better.
What's his name?
Tay asked, patting the unicorn's neck. The sky was slowly taking on honeyed hues, the wispy clouds tinged with a touch of amber. Antares stopped Miru by the edge of the glade and turned around. The setting sun glittered on her circlet.
It's Ayano,
she said, then waved at the quarter.
Follow me.
Mist filled the forest at evenfall. The milky haze flowed, ebbing through the trees, its gauze charmed with trembling shimmer. Swift like ghosts, the squad raced, sweeping through sagebrush and bracken, over stumps and gnarled arcs of roots. The pounding of hooves troubled the dreamy pace of ancient woodland. Hegel's heart jumped when a large creek suddenly gleamed in their path, its banks steep and rocky, with no room to stop. Wait! He wanted to shout, but his steed leapt over the water as though it had wings, like the horse from In His Family Crest. Shadows crept on the forest floor. Lilac at first, but then darker, darker. The mist drank them in like a blotter drinks ink. Will-o'-the-wisps danced and flickered in the thicket, alive with the mysterious whispers, creaks, and sighs. High in the crowns, something hooted and glided down with a swish of the mighty wings.
Hurry, hurry,
rustled the leaves.
Night is falling.
Then, unexpectedly, the light came back, trembling and warm. A flock of birds, no bigger than a hand, gathered around, some perching on the branches overhead, watching the stars pass, some swirling to and fro. Their feathers and long tails bore the colours of flame, joy, glitter and wonder they were, but soon they were gone.
Those were phoenixes,
Antares explained later. By the first moon, the stars reached finally the southern outskirts of the forest. Lake Aeldi opened before them, a cold shine behind the tracery of trees. It was time to part with unicorns. Nesteri dismounted slowly, his limbs aching after a long ride. It had been a while since he was on a horseback, and he had almost forgotten how enlivening it felt. He sighed and gratefully patted Santim's neck.
Farewell, friend,
he muttered.
Pity to see you go.
As he turned to walk away, mournful tiredness washed over him all of a sudden, the forest around dark as the future ahead. He wondered how long they were to stay there. Would Farian...
Tidy.
Nesteri flinched and froze where he stood. Did he hear? He turned around, his eyes wide with disbelief. Santim? The unicorn's gaze was fixed at him.
Tidy.
The same quiet voice sounded in Nesteri's mind again. Santim threw a cautious glance at Antares and added quickly,
Nesteri venario so, caito severi.
What does it mean?
Nesteri asked him, mentally mystified.
I don't understand.
But the unicorn bowed briefly and joined the rest, saying nothing more. The band lingered for a moment, their horns gleaming in the moonlight, then turned away and merged into the shadows. The fire stretched its crimson arms towards the night sky like a fervent lover seeking an embrace. Flames danced and twirled, mantled in little curls of smoke. The logs crackled, shooting sparks into the air. The wind took the tiny constellations and carried them up and away to merge with the stars above. Tay was strumming an akembe, his eyes half closed. Fire glimmered on the strings. A fern leaf in his hair rocked to the music. The ballad spoke of youth and hope, and adventures sprinkled with humour, and yet it somehow couldn't lift the pensive mood. Hegel was hardly listening, absent, his gaze fixed on the reflections in his drink. Out of the trembling gleam, Nesteri's face swam up at him, staring, unsettling. Hegel frowned. That look of grim depreciation back in the forest cut deep. Never in his whole life did anyone measure him with a stare like that, nor would they dare to. Slow, silent anger brewed in Hegel at the thought. What did he do to deserve that? Since the fall, their little squad was the only family he had. He always gave his all, always had done. How could that still be not good enough? He bit his lip, feeling the anger rise, then took a deep breath to calm down. It would be most embarrassing to let others notice. Hegel shifted tensely on his leathers and linens and glanced over at Nesteri. Nesteri sat unmoving, watching the sparks whirl and float into the night. He sensed Hegel's gaze but didn't turn his head. The quivering flames reminded him of the flying banners by the gates and the bright tapestries in his family's castle, Laeri, Ventmerian. That life seemed but a dream right now. Nesteri raised the chalice and took a swallow. He seemed his usual self, as though the troubling change had never been. Hegel looked away. He must have been reading too much into it, he told himself. Perhaps some odd trick of the light. And then his tired brain went on to conjure stories. He rubbed the bridge of his nose.
Master Elsevier would not be impressed.
Hegel winced and emptied his cup. It instantly refilled again, as always when Antares was around. Tay began a new tune. After a few chords, Nesteri grimaced in a mixture of distaste and shock. That damned song he wrote for that thot on Moronway. No way he's singing that.
The hell is wrong with him? Can't be that drunk.
Nesteri's mouth set in a grim line. He couldn't see Tay's face from across the fire, but it was just as well. the music summoned black, dark times. Such a deplorable, pathetic lack of dignity. Nasteri's very nature rebelled against the thought. He couldn't bring himself to feign indifference, much less consent. Emotions were for girls and babies, not the elite warriors like them. Certainly not for the one who called himself a captain. What a disgrace! Nasteri threw his head backwards and looked up at the sky. It was boundless and still, unshakable. He was like that too, Nasteri thought. Unshakable. He'd never slip. His duty, discipline and honour were all that mattered. The only call he'd ever heed. Tay's weakness appeared even more irritating in contrast. He let out a long sigh and turned to drink for consolation. The wine sprinkled with golden flecks where his breath touched it.
Pretty,
the warrior noticed idly. Whatever the liquor was, it felt warm inside and took the soreness from his limbs. Maybe not much, but Nasteri was grateful for that. He ran his thumb along the tracing of the cup, watching grouchily for the song to end. Meanwhile, Tay seemed in a world of his own, leaning fervently on the akembe. Hair falling across his eyes, his voice was mist and haunted shadows.
You gave me more than I could dream. You've taken all that I had been before I knew. Your touch awakened my heart like sunrise wakes up a new day with the brightest dew. A fire too radiant to last. The wind of time has swept away and you were gone. The wind took the ashes of my soul. The moons have waned, the sun has set, I stand alone. The staircase of the Milky Way had broken into little shards, but life goes on. I'd rather not be in this world than know the darkness of the night without you. No matter where my path will lead, your name will always be my light, forever true.
The second moon climbed over the horizon.
May I ask what this drink is?
Nasteri's voice sounded as soon as Tay fell silent, before the self-proclaimed bard could torture their ears with any more drivel.
It's Carador, Dreammaker,
Antares told him.
A drink from a lost world, eons ago.
Tay perked up and cheerily smelled the wine, as though seeing it now for the first time.
Why is it called that?
It eases the weariness in the body and helps you sleep, but also...
It does this weird thing,
Nasteri blurted out.
I'm sorry, Holy Star, I didn't mean to interrupt.
He flickered his eyes guiltily at Antares. Everyone turned to him. Tay leaned to the side to see from behind the bonfire.
What does it do?
He demanded.
This, look.
Nasteri blew lightly at his chalice and, as soon as that, fine golden dust rose, swirling up from it.
Neat. Is it some magic or am I just drunk?
Tay asked Antares jokingly. He might as well have been, his face coloured by heat and undue fervour.
There is a reason why this wine is known as Carador,
the great star said.
Think of a phoenix,
she commanded out of the blue. All three looked at her, confounded.
A phoenix?
Tay asked.
Remember the fiery birds in the forest earlier?
Yes.
Now close your eyes and imagine one, then breathe onto the drink.
Still baffled, the warriors did as requested. Then, one by one, three tiny birds of golden dust appeared above their chalices, flapped their ethereal wings and faded, trickling down. The quarter watched them in mute wonder.
The phoenix is a symbol of eternal strength, renewal and rebirth,
Antares said softly.
The wine will now confer those qualities to you.
Neat,
Tay muttered appreciatively.
And thank you, always a good thing.
He quaffed down his cup. Hegel followed his example in a more refined and deferential manner, befitting the presence of a guardian.
I wonder if there's a symbol to find my purpose.
Nasteri mused, contemplating the lilac depths of his chalice.
If this wine even works that way.
Hegel suppressed a yawn. The late hour weighed on him.
Holy Star,
he said, in a hope that talking would help him stay awake.
What happened to that world? The birthplace of this drink?
Arcanus. Those who lived there found a way to cure most illnesses and postpone old age,
Antares replied.
But they did not use that gift wisely.
Defiled by the shadow,
Hegel ventured.
That's right.
Antares brought wine to her lips, thoughtfully gazing into the flames.
Their downfall came from their power. Their numbers grew and grew until they used up all their planet had to offer, and the remained were forced to fight for water and air. Their world turned into a noxious hell until finally, the last of them perished.
Dreadful.
Hegel winced and briefly lowered his head in a condoling tribute.
A real tragedy indeed.
Part of him wished he hadn't asked. He contemplated the reflections of fire on Antares' face, wondering how many worlds like that she must have seen. The terrifying burden of millennia unfolded in his mind, and Hegel shivered, for a brief moment, grateful for being mortal.
And couldn't you save them?
He heard himself asking. Somehow, liquor always made him talk above his usual custom.
We did try,
Antares responded calmly.
But we don't take prisoners.
Prisoners?
Tay raised his eyebrow.
We don't save others against their will. That's not how the light works.
Antares stretched her hand toward the blaze, and the flames turned pearlescent. Vague rainbows touched her hair. Nesteri watched the great star as she spoke, covertly drinking in the magic of her presence. His eyes half closed to disguise his gaze. He mused what fighting by her side would be like.
That's fair enough.
Tay reclined on his bed of leathers, throwing his hands behind his head.
Poor idiots, though.
Hegel regarded him with a blurry stare.
Tay!
What?
You are sleeping.
No.
Well, you should be.
Hegel muttered gruffly with a knotted brow, but then he winked.
Considering the late crepuscularity.
The what?
Tay screwed his face. He hated it when Hegel spoke like that.
He made up that word. Ignore him.
Nesteri said. His voice sounded almost sober.
Just trying to hint it's getting late.
Typical.
Tay snorted.
I couldn't see that coming. Hint taken.
He pulled the fern leaf out and turned it in his fingers as though he might throw it into the fire, but then he didn't.
Let's call it a day then. It has been a long one. Till tomorrow, all.
Till tomorrow.
Till tomorrow.
Everyone answered. Nesteri noticed Istsay stepping soundlessly out of the shadows and taking his place by Antares' side. The warrior turned on his back. Unfamiliar constellations twinkled above, magnificently bright between two slender crescents. Sleeping under the sky brought memories from far away. As a boy, he would often climb out of his bedroom window at dusk, first putting his foot on the stone sill outside, then slinking on the ledge along the wall, his face nearly brushing against the weathered rocks. There was an odd protruding stone further down that made it tricky, but Nesteri learnt how to climb under it. He would then grab the rusty metal brackets on the turret and pull himself up to the roof, the realm of winds and stars. The roof was his domain. Nobody else was ever there, except for Drar, who now and then joined his young master to bid farewell to the fading day. His path was set and certain, he believed. He would be schooled at the academy until he came of age, then serve as a protector of the kingdom until it was his turn to go. The final battle, as Nesteri called it in his mind. He didn't want to ever grow too old to fight. He would not let it happen, he decided. Yet that dull certainty was suffocating. Something about it felt like a trap, and part of him hated it. His soul craved legends and adventures, and challenges of the uncharted worlds. It was as though there was some brighter, greater future that could be his if he only dared to reach for it. Or rather, could have been. His future was no more. Nesteri acquiesced to that thought with the calm discipline of a warrior. Since the fall, there was nothing he could be certain of, except himself.
It's weird how time can change so many things.
Tiredness weighed on his eyelids, reality and dream blending into one. Before the sway of sleep could take him, Nesteri angled his head and cast a furtive glance to his left. Antares sat, quiet on her watch, her silhouette drawn in a quivering glow on the dark canvas of the night. The stripes on her tiger's fur lent an emerald shimmer to her fingers.
I wonder why the Septenary trusted us. What could they see that we can't?
He contemplated Antares once more with tender reverence, suddenly amazed this was all really happening to him. A strange determination welled in his heart then, cold like a moon and sharp like an arrow.
Whatever mission we're called for, Guardian, I will not fail.
Be here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.